Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. Men's Tea Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA or visit menstclinic.com.
Yeah, buddy, it's hour four of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. You're about 20 minutes away from the expressway. Cowboys beat writer John Machota is going to join us for his takeaways from the Saints game. It is time now for an addition to the finest. Here's Eric Chiafalo.
All right, I didn't get to listen to much of Brady. We were at the game yesterday, but I did see this clip after the Jalen Brooks trip and interception, and I appreciated it from Tom.
Let me ask you this, in that spot, I'm not saying right now, young guy, you're trying to, you know, get that third receiver, build up his confidence.
Yeah.
You go back to him, does that make you trust him less?
You know, not today.
I thought that was just a fantastic response there. Not today. Maybe another time. Maybe another scenario.
He'd also be MFing him and chewing him out and screaming on the sideline, too.
That's true.
That was the Brady way.
That's true. Now, to the rushing attack, I mean, my goodness, it's so bad. The Cowboys ranked 24th in success rate. Despite seeing 8 or more man boxes on the second fewest amount of plays this season.
That's what was so notable yesterday, is they're begging you to run and you can't do it.
Can't do it. Dallas.
If I was the Ravens, I would play dime against you the whole game. Nick Harris came up with this idea, and I like it. You think about it. Play dime the whole game and dare you to run the ball.
Yeah.
You know, if you're the Ravens, just say, okay, fine. We'll cover up all your guys. We'll double your guys. And, you know, we dare you to try and run the football against that.
Yeah. I saw from John Owning, Cowboys have the fifth worst success rate when rushing against light boxes.
Amazing. There's four teams worse.
Yeah. Second worst rushing yards over expected in the NFL, and their ball carriers have forced the seventh fewest missed tackles per carry so far through the first two games. Like, Rico hasn't forced a missed tackle yet, neither has Zeke. Deuce has forced, I believe, 3 missed tackles. But it hasn't really resulted in much in the way of yards for him. So the running back room is a disaster. That's offensive line and running backs. It's just all not good. The scheme's not good. There's no nuance to it. No defenders on his heels. I'm telling you, just go back and watch DeMario Davis. And that's a guy who, when you studied him last week, you're like, you know, he's kind of, you know, not the same DeMario Davis that he's been dominant for the last better part of a decade. He's getting a little bit older now, a little step slow, and he knew everything you were wanting to do yesterday.
If you took all of their traits and could make the running back out of three of the best things they do, like Rico's speed, Zeke's size, and Vaughn's shiftiness, you might have an above average player.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And even that's a stretch. You know, there's no guarantees.
You need speed and size. Yeah. You know, it's not a difficult evaluation here. It's just, you know, another reason to believe the Cowboys have punted on this season already.
We did have at one point the mics on the broadcast picking up Dak at the line of scrimmage, doing a Kim K audible at the line.
Okay.
And I thought Lucius's hypothesis and theory on what that meant was probably the best. What is it? What do you think that is, Lucius, when your quarterback gets to the line of scrimmage and hit you with the Kim K audible?
I'm thinking there's probably too many men in the box.
Yeah, I think you probably
too many men in the box.
Too many men, ref. Too many men.
I think so. So much you're gonna have to call a timeout and gather yourself a little bit before you make a decision like that.
Kim K situation on our hands.
Kim K.
That was the tweet of the day, brought to you by Lucius Alexander.
Or I think he was calling for a bubble screen. Naked bootleg. I don't
know. All good theories. Can you beat Lucius's theory on what that Cowboy Kim K audible means? We'll take your text at 877-881-1053. By the way, Micah, of course, doing his podcast today. It's not Tuesday, though, so that's weird. But he has full control over his content, so maybe he's hitting a little back-to-back action with a little Monday-Tuesday episode for his his listeners, which is pretty incredible. His stuff on the effort, though. The effort was not there by all 11. Mm-hmm. You have a standard. We didn't uphold that standard. I'm determined to get this thing right. So, I mean, I it's tough to have effort after you've played a really good game versus a really bad football team last week. You know, you can easily forget what happened to you the last time you were at AT&T Stadium in a game that mattered, and you got completely embarrassed. But even that wasn't enough to show up with a little bit of effort there yesterday, according to Micah Parsons.
I kind of feel like that's not giving the Saints any credit for how they played.
100%.
You know, I think the Saints, you know, I feel like that they blocked you well. They did everything they had to do to move the football. To say you didn't play with effort is kind of disrespecting the Saints. And I don't think the Saints, I don't think that was fluky offense or anything like that. I think that was, you know, if you want to say, hey, we played, I don't know the word. I mean, and it's not even like technique or anything like that. You just got your ass kicked. And to say you didn't play with effort, that's not giving the Saints any credit for them kicking your ass.
Well, the coaches haven't wanted to say that they didn't play with effort. McCarthy and Zimmer both didn't want to say that.
Yeah, I mean, that can kind of get on criticisms of the coaches, but I think it just doesn't, you know, give enough credence to the idea that you're not good enough. It goes to this Cowboys entitlement syndrome that we're awesome. You know, if we could just play our hardest and be coached well, we're going to win this. You know, it doesn't recognize that the same freaking thing happened to you like four times last year. And it's happened twice in a row at your own stadium because you're not good enough. You know, depending on Damone Clark and Maris Leofowl and your defensive tackles, Malik Hooker at times, you know, that's just too many guys on your defense that are below average players to be a good defense right now. So maybe you don't want to say that as Micah Parsons. Like, we got to try harder. No, you got to get better players.
Yeah, you got to try harder to build a better football team.
Yeah.
Looking at you in the front office.
That I would say, that's fair criticism right there. You know, but
I don't think they've got the personnel, specifically a defensive tackle, to do what they need to do.
They clearly don't. They clearly don't. That's something that, I mean, if you look at how it all broke down, you know, the biggest problems were that their inability to control the line of scrimmage. And then it's, you know, but some of the really good players, like, you know, with Tank, I mean, for him to get hooked on a couple of plays, you know, he's really good against the run. Just kind of like it was like, you know, like,
those crackbacks ate his lunch.
Yeah. It's like you kind of feel like, though, that Tank's seen a lot of those and he kind of has that awareness that I'm about to get cracked here, or he didn't get a crack call, you know, from somebody. But, you know, you're feeling like, hey, they've got three guys over here. There's a good possibility with how tight they are to the formation, and I'm about to get a crack here. And sometimes you have to be able to read that too if you're everybody else. Like, you know, the safeties, the linebackers, you know, they're setting the formation into the boundary and then running the ball the way they did. Man, that's tough stuff.
Well, speaking of cracks, the 940 thinks the Kim K audible was a change to the tush push. Okay. The 682 thought they meant that they were going deep on that play. You have the 972 thinking that it was just a fake. The Kim K audible was just a fake of some sort. You have the 682. The Kim K audible was because everybody was coming defensively. Okay. They were engaging eight, you know, just one of those all out blitzes. So you got to be careful of that. But that was a little bit of a surprise. I don't think we heard that in Oxnard, that particular audible. But they brought it out in a huge way yesterday for all of the Fox microphones to pick up. Now, we did get a good Marvin Harrison Jr. outing and Kyler Murray outing yesterday as they absolutely throttled the Rams. The Rams are just a broken disaster. Cooper Kupp is now going to be missing an extended period of time, according to Sean McVay. So they just continue to get more and more injured, and the Cardinals are a frisky bunch. And it was like Kyler realized that throwing to Marvin Harrison Jr. is actually going to be
good for you.
That's going to work out for you more often than not. I mean, he put up a monster game, four catches and 130 yards and two touchdowns in the first quarter of the game. And no receiver has done that since Marvin Harrison Sr.
No way.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. It's amazing.
No player has done what Marvin Harrison Jr. did yesterday in quarter number one with the amount of receiving production. No one's done that since his own dad did it, which is just incredible. That was back in 1996.
It's a wild thought. You know, the quarterback's job is to throw the ball to his best receiver. Who would have thought that?
Kyler Murray didn't realize that was his job until yesterday. And it's all starting to come together for him and make sense.
Hope it works out for Arizona. Maybe now they can start winning games.
Yeah, and Marvin Harrison Jr., by the way, topped out at just over 20 miles per hour yesterday. So he was running with a little bit more purpose. Remember last week he was only 16 miles per hour, which is like very, very shamefully slow. But maybe he was just jogging in frustration last week because his quarterback didn't think it was his job to throw him the football.
They have the Lions this week and then the Niners 2 weeks after that. Can they do it? Are they that good?
Oof. Well, I mean, I'll tell you what,
they always
man.
Play well. Do they? Which one of those teams in the Arizona always plays well?
I think it's the Rams.
It's the Rams.
And they just beat them.
They just beat the Rams. So okay,
that's tough sled though. Having Detroit and then San Francisco like that. I know the Cowboys are going to have that coming up as well here, where Detroit and San Francisco are hitting you. Sort
I didn't
of
realize
back-to-back.
That Dallas has a Thursday night game after this one.
Yeah,
play the Giants on a Thursday night.
Oh, that's going to be a nice get right game.
It's a weird earlier in the season type Thursday night.
Yeah, so it's like you go to New York, so you're going to play this game. It's going to be over, 6:30, and then you got to be Thursday night against the Giants at the Meadowlands.
I say shout out to the schedule gods.
Yeah, thank God. Flush the 1-2 start, and then just go get even at 2-2.
Yeah, dude. Short week, you get the bad taste out of your mouth, and then you get extra days to prepare for your next loss, which is super, super exciting. Bryce Young is benched, and that's big news in the football world today. And apparently his expected points added through his first 18 career games is quite a bit worse than what even Zach Wilson's was through his first 18 games. And there's plenty of people that are coming out right now like, hey, I know this is a surprise and nobody was expecting this benching, but we're talking about Bryce Young just not being capable at all. He has struggled so bad. And so what happens now? Some people are trying to get him traded somewhere. I wonder if the Panthers are already at that point where they're willing to just punt on him and then just accept the fact that it was an awful trade up to go get him, and then you're going to be the worst team in the league this year and you go get your new number one overall pick at quarterback and you just trade Bryce Young. The Dolphins
so
Lovie can use
Smith,
him.
Lovie Smith affected the draft in a way that like he won that game against the Colts, the final game of the year that gave the Texans
franchise
the second overall pick, right?
Yeah.
So
he saved them.
they were going to take. I mean, it's
the Texans
like,
could have drafted Bryce Young, everything could be different now.
They're going to do a deep blue on this one.
The day that
Lovie saved the Texans.
I like this from the 808. I love how Eric sits on his high horse looking down at other teams. Guy, your team is trash too. I mean, we've been talking about the Cowboys
the
all show.
The Dolphins are trash.
Could be Dolphins, right could be now, Cowboys, okay. Could be anybody. I don't know exactly, but we've spent the entire program talking about how bad the Cowboys have been. So now it's time to talk about some other teams. But I'm sorry, Bryce Young and the Panthers are not good. I don't know what you want me to say other than just the honest fact that they are probably the worst football team in the sport. And I don't understand what the NFL is doing trying to grow the game by sending the Giants and the Panthers to Germany here in a couple of months.
It's a tough one.
Those are the two just NFL sewage. You would pay money not to watch those football teams, and that's what you're taking across the world to sort of advertise your sport. That makes no sense.
Well, they might be used to low scoring.
That's true. Yeah, they love field goals. If they love field goals, then they love watching these rookie quarterbacks try and play football because that's all their teams can do is kick field goals and punts. Remember when Caleb Williams was drafted and then they drafted a punter a few rounds later and Caleb Williams texted the punter and just be like, hey, just so you know, you're not going to be punting too much this year. And of course, he's already punted the ball 12 times through two games. That offense with the Bears right now, Seth Waldron, play caller, he's struggling mightily. Caleb Williams with that offensive line, big time struggle. And now you have Caleb Williams on pace for 0 touchdowns and 17 interceptions and being sacked 77 times.
Woo.
I mean, he was running for his dear life yesterday and was still sacked 7 times. Well, Chuck, he could have been sacked 15 times yesterday.
I mean, like Anderson was running around like, what the hell is going on? This dude's Houdini. It was unbelievable what Caleb Williams was able to do just to try and like keep that offense alive at times. But, I mean, we were talking about that Washington offensive line and Jaden Daniels maybe getting killed. Caleb Williams might not last the season. This is a dangerous deal for him with that Bears front.
All these rookie quarterbacks are having some big-time struggles here, and I think J.J. McCarthy right now, who hasn't played a snap due to injury, is still tied at the top of the touchdown pass leaderboard for rookie quarterbacks because none of them have thrown a touchdown pass. But they have thrown some interceptions. I liked this interaction yesterday with the rookie in Denver, Bo Nix, on one of his multiple interceptions.
Bo, can you take us through the interception in the end zone? Yeah. Drop back, do it to the other team.
Okay, very good. Thank you for the analysis, Bo Nix.
Very literal.
There it is. Football's finest.
Thank you, Chief. It is an overreaction Cowboys Monday here in the nation. We have the Expressway, LA Live, coming up at 5:40. John Mashoda, Cowboys beat writer, joins us with his takeaways next here on the...
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Yeah, buddy, it's time to hit the expressway. We'll go commercial free to the top every night at this time. John Mashoda of The Athletic joining us in just a few seconds, okay? Highly esteemed beat writer of America's team. Longtime morning news now with The Athletic, and he'll join us in just a second. Segment is brought to you by the on-time experts and by Cars for Kids. Donate your vehicle today at carsforkids.org. Did get a couple of programming announcements there. I heard from Rich Rice over at the Rangers, and tomorrow at 3:10, guess who? Rangers player show. Who would you most want to talk to right now?
Kamar Rocker.
You got him.
Let's
give
go.
It to me. Yeah, Kamar Rocker at 3:10 tomorrow. CY at 4:20 talking about his new contract. By the way, Rocker not throwing until Thursday, if you're wondering, if you're doing the math in the 5 days. I got a lot of guys to layer in there and stuff, so that's what you're looking at. By the way, salute to Leiter. I think he had another six Ks, like four innings over the weekend. Mark Schlereth will be on with us tomorrow at 4:40 as John Mashoda from The Athletic joins us now on a overreaction Cowboys Monday. John, how the hell are you?
I'm good. I'm ready to overreact.
Let's overreact, John.
What did you take away from yesterday's game as far as the overall outlook of this team? Are there issues, you know, too big to overcome?
Yeah, that's a good question, because while the team is different, there's different players than there were last season and in previous seasons. It's tough to watch that game and not see some similarities to, whether you want to talk about the Green Bay game or more so for me, that Arizona game last year early in the season. It just doesn't make sense why you can have the high highs that you had on those first 2 weeks last season and then have that Arizona stinker and then do the same thing to start this season with, I guess, maybe if the Saints go on to be, you know, I don't know, like make the NFC Championship game, maybe we look back and go, well, that was just a really good team. I just don't get the sense that that's going to happen. And so because of that, you factor all that in, and there's parts of it where you're just like, it makes it tough for me to sit here and tell anybody that, yeah, no, I think that this will all get fixed and this team will go make a deep playoff run and get to a Super Bowl and everybody will just look back and laugh at that, because that was an outlier game. We've just seen it too many times over the years. Particularly the run defense is the biggest thing for me. I really question, the coaches and the players don't want to talk about January, but to me, that's what I judge this team on, is what happens in January. And I just don't know that I see a run defense happening anytime between now and January that's going to be able to hold up consistently to win multiple playoff games.
Yeah, and John, I mean, you were there and got to hear what Zim said. I don't know if there was anything that stood out to you from Zimmer's approach to this, thinking he can fix it, but I wonder if this is just, it's a personnel problem. They're just not good enough at defensive tackle.
So I will say this. I'm not a person that I wasn't around the team, covering the team when he was here previously. So since I've covered the NFL, he was, you know, the Vikings head coach. And so when he was asked questions about today, I will say he does come off as like, you really do believe what he says. Like, he is, you know, he is adamant that he's going to get it fixed. He mentioned the whole, you know, getting it fixed back in 2000 when they opened the season and got blown out by the Eagles, and he got it fixed then, and he'll get it fixed again this time. And so we'll see. You know, I specifically asked him about the defensive tackle position just because, this isn't like the last couple of years this hasn't been up to, I mean, defensive tackle, it's been a long time since it's been a team strength. And he maintains that they have the guys that he thinks can get it done against the run at defensive tackle. He feels comfortable about that, and he thinks that if you can just get these teams to have to be in third long situations, that their pass rush will take care of itself. And I do believe that. It's just I wonder against good teams that really want to run the ball. Like I said, in January, I wonder if they have the guys inside that can get the job done.
What was the locker room like after the game?
Pretty similar to most losses. I mean, I will say this. When you cover a team that has Micah Parsons, you're always going to have like Micah's not going to be a guy that just leaves without talking to the group, you know? And he's going to give you thoughtful answers. And so when you have some guys like that in the locker room, it's never too bad. I mean, I've covered teams before where you go in after a loss like that and really no one's talking. You might get like one or two players and that's it. But I mean, most of the guys talked and, you know, Micah's the only one that mentioned the effort. Nobody else I heard had said that. You know, people talked about, I think Eric Kendrick said about, you know, it humbles you, and other players talk about it being unacceptable and that. But I will say, I mean, we've heard that stuff before. You know, I mean, I remember that Arizona loss. It was, yeah, maybe we got too high on ourselves. And you sit there and you scratch your head and you go, you got too high on yourselves. It's two games. You blew out the Jets and the Giants. They're not good teams. How did you get too high on yourself off of those two games? And so, like I said, there's just a lot of stuff that happened in that game that I take the Saints out of it. I know that you guys deal with this a lot with Cowboys fans, and when things don't go well, people like to take shots at like, well, the team isn't that talented. It's not that team. There is enough talent in that locker room that what happened yesterday should not happen against any team in the league. They shouldn't get blown out by the Chiefs, whoever you want to say is the best team in the league, the Niners, whoever you think it is. Nobody should blow them out like that. Nobody should go their first six possessions and just go right down the field and score touchdowns. And real quick, I just want to say the part that I thought stood out the most is when CD makes that miraculous catch, they get the touchdown, they answer, and it's right back in the striking distance. You got a ball game. And then the defense gets back on the field, and I think they let them go 70 yards, like 11 plays.
Yeah.
That, to me, was the most disheartening part.
Yeah, it really felt like the Packers game, as John Mashota is joining us. Back to Zim, to jump ahead to the Ravens game, he said Micah Parsons could be used as the spy for Lamar Jackson, which is interesting by itself, but also is Overshown not favored by the coaches as much as the fans and media thought maybe he was? What do you say?
Yes. So when I tweeted that out, I've noticed there's been people that have commented that. No, that's not it at all. This is just my take on that. I think that Zimmer standing at the podium and not he doesn't want to tell the Ravens, Overshown's going to be the spy. I will be surprised if Overshown isn't the spy on Lamar Jackson. It just worked too well against Deshaun Watson, and not that he's anywhere near as mobile as Lamar, but more so than a Derek Carr would be. And it isn't about DeMarvion Overshown. With the coaching staff, like them not liking him, it's that they wanted to be more in their base defense yesterday, and because of that, that's where you got more Maris Leafau. And then the other factors in with it as well is that because Overshown has come off that knee injury, I do think there's a little bit of them wanting to not give him the number of reps he would get, let's say, if he was coming in off of, like, you know, he had never had the knee injury. I think they're slowly trying to ramp him up. I think that factors in as well. But I'm interested to see DeMarvion Overshown next week, just because I was stunned at how he couldn't. He was so amazing in that first game. I just thought we would for sure see a handful of like plays where you could notice his speed and that, and it really wasn't there. And I don't think it's an Overshown thing as much as I kind of think that the defensive line never really gave the linebackers a chance to really eat and do what they do. I think that factored in as well. And so, no, I don't think it is anything with the coaches. Now, if he's barely out there against this Ravens team, I'll be a little bit more surprised. But, no, I still think that they think they're expecting a lot out of DeMarvion Overshown this year.
John, take your pick. You want to talk about the Cowboys' run offense or red zone offense? Which one would you like?
I'll talk run offense. Let's do that.
Okay. When you look at this Cowboys run offense, yesterday probably, you know, the game got out of hand. But do you have any confidence at all? Is there anything you feel like you can hang your hat on going forward with this run offense?
I do think the offensive line will continue to get better the more snaps you get with Beebe and Guyton. And I think they'll figure some things out there. I'm not confident in it. Like, you know, the top confidence for me would be 2014 with DeMarco Murray. I'm just going off the teams I've covered.
Right.
14 Murray, 16 Ezekiel Elliott. It's obviously nowhere near that, you know, but I think it's probably, it's closer to maybe 15 where they come back, they let Murray go, and they come back with Darren McFadden and Joseph Randle. And it's not great, but it's still McFadden ends up being a 1,000-yard back. I think Randle might have like 350 yards or something like that. Obviously nowhere near what Murray did, but it was good enough to win. It could win you games if you had a good rest of your team around. Obviously in 15 they didn't when Romo went down. But on this particular team, if you had that run game, I think it's good enough. I think it's good enough that it can get things going to where this team is strength is its passing offense, but you're not going to be able to meet the peak of that if you're not running the ball at all. I do think it can get better, and I will say, whether it's Dalvin Cook or somebody that's not on the team right now, I think you can add running backs at a pretty low cost, and if it's not working with the group they have right now in another week, two weeks, maybe three weeks, maybe they kick their tires on that. I just think that's more fixable than like when I was talking earlier about the run defense.
John Machado with us from The Athletic here on 105 through the Fan. I did wonder, John, and Gavin read the quotes from Dak yesterday in the press conference, and he was kind of referring to like, man, I kind of wish our offense could do some of that stuff. I think Dak's kind of getting maybe a little frustrated with how this offense is.
That's interesting you say that, because I do think it's weird to say this, but as a reporter, there are times where I'll read a quote and then I'll listen to the person say it and I'll have a little bit different feeling off it. So when I read Dak's quote on that, I do think it does sound like that a little bit, but I asked him that question about the defense and being surprised, and that was his response to it. And when he was saying the response to me, I took it more as, I don't know what you want me to do here, but I'm not going to throw this defense under the bus.
Yeah.
I got to say something right now. So let me sit there and say, I wish we could score every single time we went down there, because I'm not about to trash our defense, because plenty of you guys are going to do it anyway. That's just the way I took it, though.
John Machota of The Athletic here with you on 105.3 The Fan. Did you guys pepper Shoddy with questions about the Shanahan offense like they were flying at Mike?
He didn't get as much of those as Mike did. And I don't know. I mean, I think it's fair. I mean, it's certainly something that we're seeing around the NFL. But I also wonder with that is, so are we looking at a future where every single team has an offensive coordinator that or offensive head coach that's going to run that system? I know it's a copycat league, but I feel like none of these trends last forever. So eventually that people are going to figure that out, and then it'll be something else. And so there's just a part with the Cowboys, like, you know, I get that people, you know, see that and they're just like, well, why don't we have an offense like that? But there's a part of me that covers the Cowboys and I'm just like, yeah, you know, when the Cowboys will turn to that offense, when it's like that cycle is already coming to an end, you know, instead of catching it at the early stages, you know, because if you want to take the Cowboys out of it, I just think of it from a perspective of, as bad as you think the Cowboys are, they're nowhere close to being as bad as Washington's been.
Sure.
And the fact that they had the whole crew on their sideline at one point, I mean, they had their pick. They could have Shanahan, McVay, whatever. I mean, they let them all out the building. And so there's a part of me that does wonder. I get that they're coming off of this, you know, a bad loss, that, you know, that's the thing that needs to change in that. I don't see that as being the issue with this Cowboys team, and I really haven't for the last few years. It's really been the stinker of a games that particularly happen on defense that is the reason that I feel that they can't take that next step.
Any idea what the Kim K audible is?
That's a good question. Yeah, I knew when he said that. I've been listening to the game broadcast live on YouTube TV while I'm watching them, so they're probably, you know, about 30 seconds behind. I knew as soon as he said that was going to be a thing. But no, we haven't got a chance to ask, and there's no chance I was going to ask in the post game after that awful of a game. But I'm going to get to the bottom of it for you guys, because I am interested in that as well.
Yeah, get to the bottom of the Kim K thing, please. It's a John Machota here with us. What can you tell us about Zach Martin, Jake Ferguson, and the chances they play against Baltimore?
Probably the best thing that's happened for this team over the first 2 weeks is that they've been able to dodge injuries that when they happened, they look like they could potentially be maybe not season ending, but ones where kind of like we've been hearing today, whether you talk about Cooper Kupp and some of these guys where it's like, you know, Christian McCaffrey looks like he's going to be IR out 4 games. Like, there's just the way that Martin went down yesterday. I was thinking that was the case. And then I thought for sure when he came out of the injury tent, he'd go right to the locker room, and he didn't. And when he got on the exercise bike, I kind of thought that was kind of a good sign. And then they put him back in that game, and I was like, oh, yeah, no, that's a really good sign. And so it sounds like that they expect him to play this week and that he's not going to miss any time. And then everything I've heard on Ferguson is that he was close on Sunday. Well, actually on Saturday when they had their practice, but they wanted to give him a little bit more time. So I fully expect him to be on the field again this Sunday.
So fixing the defense, are you trying to trade for a defensive tackle then, or how could you do it in this what's left of this season?
I mean, it's a great question because I just don't think it's doable. And the reason why I say that is because it's defensive tackle, like the elite of the elites. I just feel like it's almost like quarterback where there's so few of them. When I say that, I mean one that you'd immediately plug in. You're like, no, this is fixed. And the problem is that when you've paid the contract to Dak and to CD and you're planning on paying Micah in the future as well. So I don't know if you can be giving up the picks that it would take to get a really good defensive tackle that would instantly come in and fix this thing. I'm pretty sure that the Rams have Aaron Donald's rights, even if he decided to come out of retirement. But if there was some way they could work a move there, that's the one I always say to people when people are like, when they give the hypothetical, whether the season started or right now, with the whole, well, there's no chance that I'm going to ever believe that the Cowboys are going to be any different. I'm like, well, if you woke up one morning and you found out that they got Aaron Donald, I bet you that your tune would change on that. Mm-hmm. But I still think the Rams own his rights on that. So I wish I had a good answer for you, but I don't think that you can just fix it midseason. The hope was to fix it with Mozzie Smith, and it just didn't happen.
Do you believe 1993 Jerry would get him out of retirement in a Cowboys uniform?
I do, yeah. No, absolutely.
Thank you, Johnny. You're the man. Thanks, have a great one, and we'll catch up with you soon.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
John Mesciota of The Athletic. Yeah, that's why they won. They got Charles Haley. They got Deion.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, it's the blueprint's already there, Jerry. Mm. We know you know how to do it. By the way, police have terminated, I think is the right way to, a chase that started in Kaufman. Guy shot at police during the chase, came up 75. They stopped him at 635 and 75, and now there's a body laying next to an SUV. If you're going through that area, that's what's responsible for that slowdown. It's time now to go into the Pimp Cup.
Oh, my God.
You know, I couldn't resist.
Oh, my God.
With L.A. Live.
There's a guy laying in the street, yeah. Lucius.
Just was terminated.
It was just terminated. Let's go to Lucius in the Pimp Cup. Hey, I told y'all about them Saints fans.
Yeah.
I told y'all about the Saints fans. They are obnoxious.
They were there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Did you see them? They had a whole parade out there.
Yeah.
At Jerry's World.
Yeah. Multiple trombones.
Boom, 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 boom.
Lucius, we were doing...
Tubas in their pockets.
Eric and I were doing the pregame show outside, and two Saints fan, a lady came up and goes, I listen to you guys every day. You're the best. And then we're like, remember the lady?
Yeah,
and
she's decked out in Saints gear.
She's got full Alvin Kamara outfit on.
They are so obnoxious. And they're like,
we listen
lights.
To you every day. We love you blinking guys. Lights. You're the best. Yeah. And I'm like,
they are ridiculous. Yeah. Oh, the beads with the blinking lights and the hats all flash up. Saints fans
are
so
obnoxious.
They were
still partying after 6 o'clock postgame when I left.
It was like a very friendly confidence there in the pregame. You know, it wasn't like as disrespectful as Eagles fans.
No. They're not nasty.
They're not nasty.
They're not nasty. They're just obnoxious. They want you to enjoy the fun, but my team got his ass kicked, fam.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom.
And they
boom.
Were not. They were. It was not like a slow start for that noon kick either. It was 9 a.m. and they were already ready
at
to
it.
Go.
Yeah, they got it in their system.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the Saints fans took over the Buffalo Wild Wings in Cedar Hill, and they ran them Cowboy fans out of there. I'm talking about to the point where there's helicopters and stuff flying over. Exit the building. I'm not lying. All right, let's get into a Monday-Friday edition of LA Live right after the great Rick James.
All right, you squares. It's time you smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a toke. It'll make you dance with some of everything.
Yes, sir.
Everybody get high.
Jackson.
See, but that's Michael's hook, his sensitivity. That's what women be saying, Michael's just so sensitive. And they eat that shit up. Mike know, too. He be using women in concert. I seen Mike walk up to girls and they stay being the audience. He say, is it all right if I come down there and sing to you? And the women go, ah! Then if you don't scream, Michael get real sensitive and cry on your ass. If you hear that record, she's out of my life, Michael go,
so I've learned that love's not possession.
in that land. The love won't wait. The love needs expression. Tito, get me some tissue. Jermaine, stop teasing.
Yeah. Wow. R.I.P. to Tito Jackson, baby. I'm telling you. I'm not sure if we would have the Jackson 5 the way we know it if it wasn't for Tito sneaking off and grabbing Joe's bass guitar and learning how to play that thing.
Was he the leader of them? Was he the older one?
For a while. Yeah. I think Jackie is the oldest one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I say yeah. I'm acting like I'm
old. You might, man. You were there. You were outside.
I was there.
You've been around for a long time.
I've been a long time, yeah.
Yeah, when they were had the cameras at...
I was
when
a kid.
When the bulb explodes.
Yeah, I was with the... I was there with the... When they were kids, I was a kid.
Yeah, you sure were, man. Shout out to that guy. They were still on tour and everything, man. The Jacksons. I hate to hear it. I heard he was like driving home from a road trip and may have had a heart attack while driving.
Oh, no.
That's scary.
Yeah, I saw a medical incident.
Yeah, that's scary, bro.
Yeah.
LA Live for Monday, September 16th, 2024. It is a Monday Friday here in LA Live. Word to the great Dallas group PPT for the name Monday Friday. Yeah. Monday Friday in LA Live is just where I go over a few things I've seen over the weekend. Shout out to the Tolos. I asked you on Friday to send me as many clips as you possibly can. When you wake up and take your Saturday morning poo, think of me. And you guys did it. You did it. Y'all did the damn thing. My inbox is overloaded, fam, and I appreciate that. Speaking of, G-Back of the Day, we do it every weekday on the Fan at 2:30. If you see anything out there, which you did, hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media, Lucius Alexander on Facebook, and you can follow us all if you find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. Our winner right here is the great Kevin Harlan. Boy, that man was in his bag doing his job. They had technical issues. He was supposed to throw it over to Nate Burleson in the studio. Nate Burleson was going to do an update, but it wasn't working, so Kevin Harlan made that technical issue his bitch.
And let's take you to Nate Burleson in New York.
I can't hear anything.
I can hear you. Against Tennessee and they're going deep and it was caught by the Titans. Ridley with a touchdown reception. The former Jacksonville Jaguar, Will Levis, with a long throw for Tennessee. Back to Minneapolis. All right, Nate, thank you. Second down six. Outside they go. There's Ayuk with the catch, and out of bounds he goes. Shoved over there by Gilmore and Harrison Smith. And he's got the ball. And so first Kevin, down catch out to the, out to the Kevin, 42.
You have called two games at one time, and now you've called a studio and a game at the same time. So you never cease to amaze me. Incredible.
Was, man. No hesitation.
No hezzy.
Can't hear anything. I got this. Don't worry about it.
I got it. It didn't even ask, huh, or what, or nothing. You just went right to it, bro. Let's get the vibes right. Hey. LA Live 105.3 The Fan on a Monday, Friday. Oh, something I seen over the weekend. I'm starting to think Uncle Shannon Sharp may have planned that whole Instagram situation on us.
Really?
No. Here we go.
I'm coming around. Pause.
Fred Davis with that call too, right? When he came in.
Yeah, Fred.
Fred was right. I feel, but I don't. His reasoning have been off.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So maybe Fred's spidey senses was on, but the reasoning was wrong, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think he pulled a Kardashian on us, put the sex tape out there for clout.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
How many steps does it take to go live, folks, on Instagram? Can somebody grab the phone? I'll try.
Maybe four.
I think you just open the app and then press the live button, right?
You can't throw it on the ground and let it bounce, kind of thing?
Yeah, I think it's two steps.
Click the middle button. Wait, no.
See?
Oh, yeah. Click the middle button. Yeah, but then you also have to turn it over.
See?
Yeah.
And then if it's your first time, you're like, there's things you have to press. Like, okay, I'm okay with this. I'm okay with that option. Like, you have to set it up, right?
Two buttons, a slide, another button.
Wow.
At least,
see?
Had he gone live earlier slide. In the day?
No, he said he's never been live before.
He did
he says
say
he's
that.
Never been live, then yeah. This is tough.
That, I'm telling you, bro.
Yeah. And then there's another button you got to hit to go live.
You see what I'm saying? There's a lot of steps.
That's why we were alleging, we at least threw out the idea that maybe the girl was trying to get the clout. You know, Michelle.
Michelle. You know? Speaking of Michelle.
Does he need the clout?
Uncle Shannon is also selling Ma Mathale merch.
Oh wow. He's really capitalizing on this. The true American dream.
That's a Guns N' Roses song.
It is.
Oh, we got copyright?
It is, bro.
I love that. But I also thought he had like a Blue Chew deal as well that was coming through.
Look at you, Dawson. See? Look at you, Dawson. Hold on, fam. I'm working it. Let me get there. But no, you're absolutely 100% correct. Shannon Sharp announced a merch drop, deleted the post. The $32 if you want that 69 Michelle shirt.
Unbelievable.
It looks like the looks like a NASCAR logo and the 67 gas station logo.
Okay.
Or 76.
Yeah.
Gas station logo. Looks just like that.
Unical.
Yeah, but both items were pulled from his website right now for some reason. I don't know. Maybe he knows that we're on to him, or maybe it just doesn't look good. Or maybe he didn't work out the splits with Michelle. I don't know. Or, excuse me, Mathale. I don't know. But yes, you're right, Mr. Gavin Dawson. You don't miss anything. Uncle Shannon Sharp also has a brand new sponsor, and he played this during his explanation with Ocho Cinco on that show. What is it called?
Nightcap.
Listen to this, fam.
Hello, I'm Shannon Sharp, and I'm a Roast sponsor. Do you want hotter, more spontaneous sex? Roast Sparks can help.
Come on, wait a minute. Are we talking about your sex tape slip up? And now you got a sponsor for spontaneous sex?
Yeah.
Offer dual action prescription treatment that's giving men stronger and harder erections. Roast Sparks works faster than other treatments because they're dissolved under the tongue and go directly to the bloodstream.
Mm.
Why does that matter? Because now when the mood is right, he'll be ready.
He'd be ready. Is that a stunt? You guys think that's a stunt?
Coincidental.
Yeah, it's hella coincidental, bro. Like, you dropped this ad. You got Ma Mathale merch. It takes you 16 steps to go live, but you did it accidentally just by putting the phone down.
Yeah.
Phone never shook. You know what I mean? It was like in a good spot. It was never moving around and everything. Just saying, bro.
You must have one of the magic phones.
Look kind of funny in the light.
Futuristic phone.
You're looking kind of funny in the light, Uncle Shannon. I'm just saying.
Huh.
You don't have to lie to us, bro. You don't have to lie to us. Just drop it. Let's see what else we got right here. LA Live 105.3 The Fan, Lil Jackson's. There was another assassination attempt on Donald Trump.
Yeah.
You guys see that on, was it Sunday, I believe?
Yeah.
He was playing golf on one of his Florida golf courses in West Palm Beach. I love West Palm Beach, Florida.
Is it bad that I was so swimming in football yesterday, just drowning in it all, that I didn't even realize it?
That's how
it's
the media goes.
It's crazy that they didn't break into the game. Yeah. Like, the former president was almost just shot again.
Kind of a big deal.
It's become so normalized. It's insane.
That's what I'm saying, man. Like I told you guys, we are living in a particular time here, people.
Right.
They will study this time period over and over again, ask how it happened, how did they get through it? If we get through it. Secret Service said they seen a gunman about 400 to 500 yards away in the bushes.
In the bushes.
They seen the barrel of a gun from 400 to 500 yards away.
Damn.
How?
They got the magic eyes. They're zoomed in. Futuristic eyeballs.
They see a reflection?
Did they have goggles or something? Like, what's going on?
Must have got that LASIK from Brooks Eye Associates.
I imagine he's triangulated with sniper rifles, so maybe they were scanning.
Maybe they're scanning. You see that? Bushes look a little funny over there.
At least they've leveled up.
Did they
the
see
last
the reflection
one?
Yeah. of the barrel? Or maybe the scope?
A little glistening?
Yeah, you know, shot. Yeah, maybe it hit shimmer. The sun or something like that.
I think they had a drone in the air, too.
The drones, too.
Maybe it was just gut feel.
The man was Ryan Wesley Roth.
It's always three names that do these things.
Ryan Wesley Roth. Yeah, arrested him.
Kind of
the hyphens.
Took down his socials. So we can't see what he's been talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's kind of weird, man. Your boy better move about smartly right now. How many more days have we got to the election?
I don't know.
He better move about 45. Smartly. He still got a campaign.
Dude, I'd get myself a Pope bubble
that's
at this point.
That's what I'm saying, man. Yeah.
Got less than one day to TD Tuesday. I know that.
Yeah, thank God.
let's see what else we got right here. LA Live 105.3 The Fan.
I'd be up there looking like a proper dictator behind a glass wall. You know what I'm saying? Come on, man. Never get full power.
Big facts, bro. Big facts. Do y'all follow Mr. Dr. Locke MD on Instagram? Dr. Locke MD on Instagram. So talked a lot of football stuff.
Oh, injury, really? Dude.
Injury, conspiracy.
Oh.
He says there's some funny business going down with Kansas City Chiefs in the NFL.
Mm. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of that going around.
That's what he's thinking. That's what he's thinking.
Did he have that Mahomes stat about the interceptions?
Yeah. Then the refs not getting all the calls. I think the ball hit off the dude's head. Listen to this.
What you are about to witness could not be pulled off by any other team in any other stadium in the National Football League. 4th and 16, 48 seconds on the clock, death, taxes, and the Kansas City Chiefs somehow, some way, being bailed out with the game on the line. You can't make it up. We've seen it all. And listen to Tony Romo immediately start doing tricks on Kansas City.
It's the right call. He got there early. Just the emotions of that play, Jim. That's what gets you. You just, it's so emotional. Your heart rate's up.
What? What? What did he even just say? Look at this. That is bang, bang. Oh, my gosh. No, they can't keep getting away with it. They can't keep getting away with it. What do you want the defender to do? Why wear a ref jersey when you can just put on a Chiefs jersey? This almost looks scripted. Look at the ball land and the flag immediately fly. It's comedy. It looks like it's out of a Key and Peele sketch. And here comes Harrison Butker. It's automatic. He walks it off. We've seen this script before. Almost too many times. Absolute insanity in Arrowhead once again. Oh, and here's Taylor. I'm happy she's happy.
I'm happy she's happy.
Is this on the Rashee Rice play?
Yeah.
It is,
the last play, he was definitely early.
It was, it was as clear of a penalty as anything I've ever seen in my entire life.
Because I didn't get to see it. Like, obviously, Brian and I were doing the post-game show, so I couldn't focus on it. Then I'm driving home, and then I saw people were just going crazy over this. I see the play, and I'm thinking, I can understand if they just don't call it last play of the game. That happens sometimes, but it was pretty clear that he was early.
It stopped his movement up in his jump.
Yeah,
it knocked his eyes down.
It's definitely interference.
Yeah. Good content, though.
Yeah.
Dude's on fire.
Dude did a great job.
Yeah.
You're full of it. It sounds great, though, bro. Yeah, did amazing. Absolutely.
You're wrong. The entire basis of your thesis is wrong. But it was. You're quite the showman.
What a great delivery, though. And they said Tony Romo was glazing Pat Mahomes that whole broadcast.
I believe it. Not surprised.
There's Pat Mahomes right here throwing the ball into the dirt. Look how Tony Romo explains it.
This is Mahomes throwing it in the dirt on purpose. So he sees it, and then he's got such great instincts. He tries. The guy coming right there from the inside. You saw Wilson coming. He didn't see that initially, but he sees everything in that. It's a winning play. No turnover.
He didn't see that initially, but he sees everything.
He did it on purpose, man.
It is pretty good. Yeah.
You feel like that would be like satirical analysis on Saturday Night Live.
But he sees everything.
Yeah. Oh, before we get out of here, you know the playmaker Michael Irvin is an NFL correspondent for Cameron and Mace on the It Is What It Is sports show. Music mogul Jermaine Dupri is out here snitching. If you don't know who Jermaine Dupri is responsible for giving us Crisscross, well, he was telling Cameron and Mace about the infamous White House. He's snitching. Out here dry snitching, telling Cam and Mace about the White House. So, of course, Cam and Mace had to ask Michael Irvin about the legendary White House, and they talk about it. But I didn't know people were coming at Michael Irvin about creating a White House doc. I want to see the White House documentary.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, we've been waiting for this for years.
Michael Irvin?
Michael's sitting on it. He's not. He don't want to drop it. Listen,
bring it, Mike.
He don't want to drop it.
Yeah, Mike, we got to shoot a documentary.
Yeah, Mike, we got to shoot a documentary
on the White House, man.
Yeah. They have been offering money for that documentary. Yeah. You know, the White House wasn't just full-grown. There were stages to getting to that, you know. Started off in an apartment, and we needed to grow.
You had to move.
Come on, man. Somebody money whip Michael. We want to see this White House doc. I'm pretty sure it'll do numbers on Netflix or wherever you put it. You can put it on Tubi. It's going to do numbers. It got Cowboys' name on it and debauchery.
That's right.
It's going to do numbers. All right. Lord willing, the creek don't rise. I'll be here tomorrow. If God wants me to be here, y'all be safe out here, all right? Holla.
Thank you, Lucius. There he goes. LA Live every night about 5:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. When we return, you've heard from us. It's time we hear from you at 877-881-1053. It's not often we do this, but it is time for the 6 o'clock sound off.
Oh, wow.
What's wrong with the Cowboys? That's next here in the G-Bag Nation.